Death will overtake us all, but the grave is not the end. There is a very long eternity awaiting each of us, and Jesus said most people will go to hell. Are you like most, or like the few on the narrow road to heaven? The Bible teaches many things you may never have heard before, which may shock you. Join us today with your host, Brother Dan Corder.
Today I'm going to show you how easy it is to refute the prevalent heresy of once saved, always saved. The once saved, always saved doctrine is a belief that any and all people who ever become Christians have always, under all circumstances, remained saved from the fires of hell and will never die spiritually. To them, salvation is irrevocable, irreversible, and unalterable. Salvation cannot be imperiled, jeopardized, destroyed, or ruined by anything you do or anything you would believe, regardless of what it is, according to that belief system. You can become a criminal, demon-possessed, a drunkard, a serial rapist, murderer, atheist, sorcerer, witch doctor, Hindu, and still remain saved if you were ever once saved. In other words, once you get salvation, you cannot get out of salvation even if you tried. Hence the term, once saved, always saved. Logically, that kind of belief is like saying all Ford trucks are blue in color and only have always been blue in color. To disprove that premise that all Ford trucks are blue in color and only have always been blue in color, it only takes a single Ford truck that is any other color, red, yellow, pink, white, whatever, to refute that. Produce one example of such a Ford truck and that premise is demolished. Furthermore, if the Ford truck company stated that they have produced at least one truck that wasn't always blue in color, that alone would also destroy their premise. Similarly, it is just like that with the doctrine of once saved, always saved. It is that easy to demolish this teaching of eternal security. It only takes one single example of a person ever saved who afterwards got back on the road to hell again, regardless over what issue it may be, or a scripture suggesting the possibility of such. Just one solitary, single, lonely Bible example disproves once saved, always saved. If just one saved person didn't remain saved, then there absolutely is no once saved, always saved. No eternal security, no preservation of the saints, no perseverance of the saints, no once in Christ, always in Christ, no once in grace, always in grace. And if there are conditions attached to our salvation security, then there can be no eternal security. The word if in itself reveals that that is repeatedly the case. All through the Bible, we see ifs attached to various statements that Jesus and the apostles gave in conjunction to salvation itself, suggesting a conditional security and a conditional salvation. Since the Bible rejects the notion of once saved, always saved, then it cannot be a Christian teaching. If it is not a Christian teaching, then it is a demonic teaching designed to hurt and destroy Christians. That means all those who teach once saved, always saved, regardless how popular, are not speaking wholesome truth, but instead poisonous, deadly lies. It might sound great, but if it's not true, it is deadly. Especially if it is the opposite of the message of the Bible, which is the case. So what is the biblical proof that all saved people have not always 100% of the time remained irrevocably saved in grace and alive in Christ? The truth is, the evidence is so massive that example after example can be conclusively cited. In the book that I've written, The Believer's Conditional Security, there's a chapter in there citing 18 clear examples in the Bible of people or types of people who once had salvation and afterwards would die spiritually and be without that salvation at a future point. Many verses can be cited, but there is one pristine passage that I'm thinking about right now that definitely destroys once saved, always saved. Here's the passage. It's in Matthew chapter 26, 31 through 34. Then Jesus told them, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the apostles. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. This actually blows away once saved, always saved. There are many scriptures that would do it. Many, many, as I said earlier. But in this passage, Matthew 26, 31 through 34, we find out, folks, it is the sheep that fall away. Once saved, always saved people try to cloud the issue. They try to muddy the waters and say, if you fall away, now this is what they say sometimes and only sometimes, that if you fall away, you were never really saved to begin with. Consequently, you were never a sheep. But here, clearly, it's the sheep that fall away, not goats. It's not somebody that was never a sheep, not somebody that was never a possession of Jesus. Furthermore, we find out that falling away can happen very fast. Jesus said in verse 31, Matthew 26, 31, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. So it was already nighttime, and he's saying this very night, so before morning, they all fell away. Another point that we see is, in this passage, falling away is equating to disowning Jesus. And we know that because Jesus said that Peter would fall away, and he also said that Peter would disown him three times. And if you keep reading on down through the chapter, you'll find out that's exactly what happened. Just like Jesus said, Peter disowned Jesus. Now, what does that mean? If we didn't know about another passage, also in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, we might be deceived about what this is saying. Because in Matthew 10, 33, Jesus said he warned the 12 that if they would disown him, he would disown them. So that means Peter disowned Jesus, and because Jesus is not a liar, Jesus disowned Peter. So that means at that point, right after he was disowned, he had fallen away. He was owned by Jesus prior to that point. But after he was disowned by Jesus, he wasn't anymore. So that's it, folks. Once saved, always saved. It's finished. It's demolished. There's one example right there. Now, of course, I could go on and on and on and on, which I did in my 801-page book. But this shows there is no once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter what Paul Washer and John Piper and John MacArthur and Charles Stanley and Dave Hunt and all the rest of them might try to say in support of this doctrine. Their doctrine is not what the Bible teaches. It's not a Christian teaching. They want us to believe that God is holding and keeping us, but at the same time, on occasion, they want us to believe that a Christian can backslide. Now, folks, notice I said on certain occasions. That's not all the time. At other times, they want to give the impression that their doctrine is something it isn't. Now, their doctrine is a license for sin, but they don't want it to be known as a license for sin. They want it both ways. They want to teach a license of sin and tickle ears and make everybody happy in their sin, but they don't want it to be known as a license of sin. They actually are saying that backsliders are saved. That's really what they're saying. And that's why they teach the prodigal the way they do. The prodigal was running with prostitutes and remained saved. That Solomon, at the latter end of his life, when his heart turned to idolatry, that he retained his salvation. So there's Christian idolaters. There's Christians running with prostitutes. There's Christian adulterers and murderers, because David also backslid to that degree. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we find out the unnamed man was committing sin that even pagans were not committing. And the eternal security teachers say that he was saved. So imagine that. That's the doctrine that they declare. And they link that, they try to link it, to grace and the gospel and the bedrock of Christianity and evangelical teaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They even try to connect it with Jesus' words about our redemption when Jesus said it is finished, when it has absolutely nothing to do with those words. Folks, no heresy, especially a heresy of this magnitude, has anything to do with the precious words of the Lord Jesus when he said, it is finished, referring to our redemption. The eternal security teachers hide the core of their demonic doctrine. They misrepresent the Christian position. And once saved, always saved people also confuse the issue with their never saved to begin with verses, which really aren't relevant at all with this issue. Because to be dead right on regarding this issue, you have to focus on somebody that was saved. That's why I brought up Matthew 26, 31 through 34 a couple minutes ago. Because these people were saved. They were sheep and they fell away. And they fell away quickly.
The Bible teaches that we need to get saved by turning from our sins and trusting entirely in the Lord Jesus for salvation. But it also teaches that we must endure to the end of our lives to avoid going to hell. This does not always happen. There are many biblical examples of people who once had salvation, but afterwards lost that salvation because of sin, persecution, or believing a wrong gospel. All of this is denied by false teachers of our day. They think there is security in sin when the Bible clearly teaches otherwise. Get your copy of our book, The Believer's Conditional Security, for more information on the subject of salvation by sending your check to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301.
I want you to listen to what John Piper says about a born-again person that he cannot become dead. Listen to this.
A born-again person cannot become dead.
Now, that's not unique to John Piper and his Calvinism, which, of course, is the same as John MacArthur's Calvinism or anyone else's Calvinism. Ray Comfort said essentially the same thing with these words. Listen to this.
If God has saved them, God will keep them. If they're born of God, they'll never die.
Now, the Apostle Paul, the real grace teacher, the true grace teacher, the real apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, taught something totally different that flatly contradicts Piper and Comfort and Washer and MacArthur and all the rest of them with these words. Listen to this. Romans 8:13. The Apostle Paul was writing the church at Rome, the saints at Rome, and this is what he said. For if you live according to the sinful nature or the flesh, depending what translation you're reading, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So he's telling people already saved, already born again, that if they go ahead and live according to the flesh, they're going to die. The exact opposite of what Piper and Comfort and every once saved, always saved teacher wants us to believe. None teach that a born again person can become spiritually dead. But Paul taught that. And not only that, of course, getting back to the prodigal again. This is the Lord Jesus teaching. The prodigal was spiritually dead and lost when he was a while living with the prostitutes, but he became alive again or saved again after he repented and came back to the Father to serve the Father in Luke chapter 15, verse 24. So again, showing that a saved person can die. The prodigal died. There's all kind of holes in this doctrine. And already in my message today, this doctrine has been demolished. I have proved that all Ford trucks are not blue. In this case, there's a few that are red, a few that are yellow, a few that are green, and a few that are polka dotted. If we go to Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6, I believe some of the people that are acquainted with this controversy, which really should not even exist, but it does exist. It does exist in our dark day. In that passage, the Bible says that it is impossible for those who have been once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance because of their loss, they crucified the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Two comments about that. I was reading from the NIV. It says, if they fall away. Folks, that is an error in the NIV. King James has the same error in it because these people had already fallen away. They had already fallen away. So again, you can see that it's people that were once saved that fall away, according to the context. Clearly, this can only be people that were at one time saved. But then the Bible says that they cannot be brought back to repentance in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. Unlike the prodigal who was brought back to repentance, this type of person could not be brought back to repentance. Why? Because they committed eternal sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin, three names for the same type of sin, so they could return to the synagogue. That's why they couldn't be renewed again unto repentance. So what do the Calvinists do with that? People like John Piper, what do? They actually teach, grab hold of your seat, listen to this. They teach lost people can have the experiences of Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, meaning that lost people can be enlightened, taste the heavenly gift. I wonder what that could be. Share in the Holy Spirit. I wonder what that could be. Taste the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age and then fall away. Hard to believe that this is what they teach, but they do. This is what they say, and they're doing all this. They're teaching like this to protect their doctrine. Now, this teaching of once saved, always saved, and eternal security has been elevated and placed right next to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in a lot of people's minds. It is that significant. They look at this doctrine as grace. They look at this doctrine as the gospel, and it's heretical. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-Christian. It's anti-Paul's grace. Remember Romans 8:13. The essence of their doctrine is that a saved person cannot die spiritually. Clearly, not only Romans 8:13, there's all kinds of scriptures that teach that a Christian can die spiritually. All over the New Testament. Look at the last two verses in James chapter 5. Five times in Ezekiel it says the same. In Genesis chapter 2, the very first warning that God ever gave to man, which was Adam, in chapter 2, I think it was verse 17. He told him that the day that he would eat from that forbidden fruit, he would die. And the devil came along and contradicted that, which is really the essence of what we're getting from Piper and Ray Comfort and John MacArthur and Paul Washer and all the rest of them, every single person that teaches eternal security. Then we have people like Andrew Womack. He's growing in popularity, unfortunately, to the detriment of the body of Christ. Womack actually teaches Christians don't live holy.
There's many reasons why Christians don't live holy.
It's shocking the things that once saved, always saved teachers do with the scriptures to protect, teach, defend their myth. They will avoid hundreds of scriptures and twist others for support. And it's not just Womack. And it's not just Piper. They want us to believe that Christians don't live holy, the exact opposite of what we see all through the Bible. Christians are told to hold on to what we have. We're told to continue, to remain faithful, to endure, to keep ourselves pure, to keep ourselves from idols and the like. And the reason is for salvation's sake. And I'll give you a prime example. Revelation chapter 2, 10 and 11. And this is the Lord Jesus himself after the cross. He knows all about his blood. He knows all about grace and salvation and everything else. And he told the Smyrna Christians, this is one of the two groups he never told to repent. He told the Smyrna Christians, be faithful. Now notice, he brought up the issue of faithfulness, but it wasn't God will be faithful to you to hold you and keep you. He's telling these Christians that they need to be faithful. They're the ones that need to be faithful, even to the point of death. I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Revelation 2, 10 and 11. So what is that saying? He will not be hurt at all by the second death. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. What's the second death? Second death is the lake of fire. He said, be faithful to the point of death, right up to the very end of your life, and you're not going to be hurt at all by the lake of fire. So that shows that it would be possible for them to go to the lake of fire, meaning there's no once saved, always saved. There's no eternal security. There is no preservation of saints, no perseverance of the saints. That is a myth. That is not only deception, that is a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit grace. It's right from the pit of hell. So again, we hear all the time that God is faithful to us. Yes, 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 God is faithful. But Jesus said there will be faithful. Not only that, Hebrews 3:6, but Christ is faithful. There we go. They probably like that verse, at least that much of it. Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And again, this is talking about salvation. How do we know that? Because only saved people are the house of God or the temple of God. And we are his house. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So even though Jesus is faithful, we have to hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And then we have that powerfully clear passage from the third angel in Revelation chapter 14. The third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on a hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength in a cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. So this is another warning about going to the lake of fire given to who? This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints. So clearly, these saints were not once saved, always saved. They don't have eternal security. They don't have any unconditional security. They are going to have to remain faithful and not take the mark of the beast, not worship the image of the Antichrist. We can go on and on and on. There's all kinds of scriptures like that. Here's another one. 1 John chapter 2, 24 through 26. This is the Apostle John. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, notice the conditional word if it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. So this is a salvation passage, a warning about the loss of salvation or eternal life, one and the same really. And the conditional word if makes it explicit that man has his own responsibility to hold on to what he heard. So that's talking about doctrine, what you heard. Because if you apostatize in certain doctrine, you are no longer a Christian. Now, some doctrines are not nearly as important as other doctrines. And at the tippity top of the whole list would be the verses referring to salvation itself. So you're going to have to hold on to what you heard. You're going to have to believe the truth about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He shed his blood. He died on a cross. He rose again. He is the only way to the Father. It's his blood that purchased our redemption 100%. We're going to have to hold on to these things and not be led astray. People want us to believe something contrary. Certain people do, that is. Not everybody. But we're going to have to hold on to these basic truths, and it's a salvation issue. This is an issue of eternal life or not having eternal life. Even though eternal life is a present tense possession, you enter eternal life at the end of your life if you die in the Lord. So without question, there are various ifs connected with salvation, showing there is no unconditional security for the believer. There is no once saved, always saved. There are hell warnings to Christians. I already gave several. But here's another one. Here's a passage which is frequently overlooked. In Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 3, we read this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus spoke that to people who were already saved, not the people who were never saved or people that weren't saved yet. These people were disciples. And to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 14, you have to give up everything. These people were already saved, and he could tell that they're not going to enter the kingdom of God because they were arguing who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They were not like that little child. Remember, God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. This is something that Jesus could see that would bump them off and prevent them from inheriting the kingdom of God, getting into the kingdom of God itself. And then all you have to do is just read down a couple more verses. You don't have to go very far. In the same chapter, Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 and 9. Listen to this. This is to the same crowd, to the disciples again. He said, "If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than have two hands and two feet be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." So again, this is a hell warning to people who had already been saved. They were already born again. But even though they were already born again, this hell warning was appropriate for them. People need to know that. So there are all kinds of examples in the Bible of people previously saved who afterwards started to fall with Satan again, who got disowned by Jesus. They fell from grace, departed from the faith. They died spiritually. They didn't bring forth good fruit. They were cut off from the vine. Their faith was destroyed. They became a shipwreck of the faith. They turned back, was cut off from Christ, became like a branch that is thrown away, withered and dies. Became an enemy of God after being sanctified by the blood of the covenant. Returned to sin after knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Had their name blotted from the book of life, etc. And the Bible says in Psalm 125, verse 5, "Those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with evildoers," showing that backsliders do not retain their salvation. They're in the same category as evildoers. Backsliders are not saved, the exact opposite of what eternal security is. The exact opposite of Calvinism. So folks, it's very, very easy to refute once saved, always saved. It's very easy to refute somebody that would ridiculously say that all four trucks are blue, and they have only always been blue, and never yellow or green or purple or polka dotted or any other color. Now, I could give all kind of other verses, but here's one right here, which is a dandy. It's Romans chapter 11, 19 through 23. Listen to this. Apostle Paul again. You will say then that branches were broken off so that I could be grafted, and granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. Now, I wonder why we should be afraid, because we could be broken off. In the next verse, Romans 11, 21, Paul went on, he wrote this. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they'll be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Wow. What a powerful section of the Bible, concisely stated, Romans 11, 19 through 23. We stand by faith, but our faith can be destroyed. We should be afraid of being cut off, according to Paul. This is grace teaching. This is true Christian doctrine. We won't be spared under grace from getting cut off if we enter unbelief. We must continue in God's kindness, or we're going to see his sternness. And here his sternness is getting cut off. Not losing some rewards, getting cut off. And if you get cut off from the life-giving tree, you no longer have life in you. That's what happened to the Jews through their unbelief. Unbelievers are not saved. Unbelievers, Revelation 21a, they're going to the lake of fire. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, adulterers, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And then the icing on the cake. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Once saved, always saved people do have an agenda. They have a purpose. And you know what that purpose is? Listen to this. They want us to think we're standing firm, that we cannot possibly come out of salvation. Paul said, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. So they're pumping a person up. They're getting them in spiritual pride. They're putting them in such a position where they're going to be apt to fall just because they're puffed up in this kind of false security that they're in. The truth is, a Christian at this point in time, one that is walking with Jesus at this moment, he's on a hard road that leads to life. There are many dangers and deceptions all around us, including ferocious wolves in sheep's clothing who distort the grace of God into an allowance for sin. And that's exactly what the once saved, always saved teachers are. These Calvinists are bad news. These are not people that are neutral. These are people that are trying to convert people to their position. They're teaching false doctrine, distorting the word of God, and setting these people up that believe them for the worst possible fall and disaster possible. Namely, they're jeopardizing their soul and their salvation. So what are you going to do about it? There is no once saved, always saved. There is no eternal security. You must endure to the end to be saved. Do not be deceived.
Thank you for joining us. Write for a free packet of ministry material to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. That's Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. Your prayers and financial donations would be appreciated to help us spread the gospel. Remember, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Hebrews 3:14.